Today we got Pastor O, and he now the Pastor Flo.
I guess I'm Pastor O. I'm coming to you here live from Chicago. If you already don't know, this is the flow, and I'm ready to go as long as you are ready to flow.
Hey! Hey! Okay, that was good.
I was shocked, because he really, at first I'm
right,
like,
I'm like, okay, where we
he
going?
About to hit
where
us
we
with going? The one-line sentence. He ain't really feeling it.
Yeah, I was a little nervous about the beat, though. I'm like, okay, I'm getting off track, I think.
I think I stopped the beat after a while.
Oh, did you? You did. That's why I was like, all right, let me keep it going. Ain't gonna leave me. All right, well, welcome to another episode of Faith Declassified, your career and tech survival guide. We are your survival guide to faith-fueled careers. In each episode, we will give you insights and stories for integrating Christian values in a diverse range of professions, from everything between office roles to entrepreneurial ventures. Today, we have the honor and privilege of having not only your wonderful co-hosts, but the phenomenal Pastor O here with us today. Everyone give a round of applause. Thanks for having me. Thank you for coming on the show.
For sure.
Before we get into all of the wonderful things that is Pastor O, we want to start off with some praise reports for today, starting with the business praise report.
I'm gonna say for the business praise report, we want to be as transparent as possible about the ups and downs, but the praise coming from, we heard some not so great news of our app development. We have came a long way. It's been like 3 years since we've been in official development, and this is because we all do this part time. We have part time jobs. Everybody have life. It's just understandable. And this was our very first time ever attempting to make a product from scratch. So not knowing the processes and not knowing what to do, not knowing the right people. It's so much go into being an entrepreneur, which is could be a lovely segue to Pastor O and him talking about his entrepreneurial journeys. But from a person that always seen people do side hustles, is much different to actually try to build a business that you would like to scale out for millions of people to see. And through that process, we went through the development phase of not always thinking about how to set up Kanban boards.
Agile processes.
Scrum.
Feature setting.
All that stuff was learned on the fly, or we had to learn it through like YouTube or ask
nine
people.
To fives.
Or go through asking advice from friends and mentors. Through that process, it kind of came back to us year three because we had that rocky process of not wanting to start and not being very clear and precise on how to come out with an MVP. We have learned that a lot of the features that we had were kind of outdated, so we had to relook at our app as a whole as far as a new design. And then we got to think fast, because now that we are getting in contact with new developers, I guess we could shout them out, TechJays, which is a company that is a software development company that helps people, get their apps off the ground. And they especially have a heart for Christian companies, which we're so happy and proud to be associated with them. But in that moment, that's when they gave us some free consultation, and they let us know, it's like, hey, you guys are kind of far from where you want to be. And we didn't have that realization because we didn't know in comparison where we should be at.
No, we knew. We knew.
We didn't have the best insight. We didn't have the best insight in as far as our decision making. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the features that we designed 3 years ago just outdated. And so, through the grace of God, we had planned to do new features last year, last few months ago, that helped us kind of prepare for this moment right here. And God didn't tell us this. We just wanted to think forward. God was just like, you need to always be sharpening your tool set. You need to always be doing something. You can't just be standing around stagnant waiting for anything or anybody. And then through that process, we were kind of thinking about some features. And we was like, hey, you know what? Let's get ahead on some of these features. And now that we're in this moment, now it sounds like we can start integrating that into our MVP model and start switching out to more of the app that we wanted to be for today, not 3 years ago. And that's making us more relevant at this time. So,
and it's our actual business model.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for God giving us through that process of like, hey, go through these struggles so you can really appreciate and understand what you're going through. And so I guess that's the business pay report for me. Yeah. What about you?
I would also add to that that God is a recoverer of time. Our timeline is not his timeline. And I think that if this would have indeed launched 3 years ago, I would have fumbled all of it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the character to be a business owner. I had an idea. But this year, one thing that we've been transparently praying about out loud is, God, please make us full-time founders. This year, I became a full-time founder, and I ain't got full-time founder pay.
Yeah.
We've been transparent, but I wouldn't rather do anything else. I would rather stay up all night and work on this. I could work on this for countless hours and not think twice about it, just because I know, like, I'm so in tune with what God wants for this, that I'm like, okay, God, what do you think about this? How do you want this to go? That's so much more enjoyable to me than anything in this world as it stands today in my season of life. I mean, I'm not married, I don't got kids. But this
is time to start.
Yeah, this is my world. And so it wasn't until this year where I fully understood what that meant to be that business owner. It's like when God is taking you somewhere, you have to also meet yourself on the other side of that. You may not be that person that requires that blessing that you need or that you desire. And so I think that regardless, Kenny always reminds me that we wouldn't have been ready, which we wouldn't have been. But we definitely know that to be true based on where he has taken us. So I'm grateful for the grace of the 3 years. But also it is like one of those things like, oh, I wonder what it would have been like. But it doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah. It's tuition.
Another thing I want to talk about right before we get into personal prayer report, some lighter news. I mean, that was still a praise report.
That's a whole praise.
That's still a praise report, but some lighter news, updates on the conference.
Summertime Shy is right around the corner, and the Talent and Tech Conference hosted by Study Aloud is where you want to be on July 12th. Join over 400 professionals for this exciting one-day event packed with keynotes, workshops, and networking opportunities with leading Christians and tech experts. Use your tech skills in a setting where technology meets purpose. Secure your spot today and visit studyaloud.com for more details.
Got to give people updates.
Woo!
For the people that know about this, we are probably about like 2 months behind from when this is released. But the people that listen to this, just to stay on track, for anybody that's been continuously listening, that we have starting to solidify some speakers. Yeah. We're starting to solidify some speakers. We're starting to solidify. We got one verbal sponsor. And I guess we can probably say, I know we have already been talking about it a little bit. At the very first couple of episodes, we talked about our conversations with a publisher. But now they're starting to fully invest in us.
Oh, okay.
So...
Yeah. I'm like, who you about to say? Please don't say who at the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so UMI, which is the company we've been talking with early, I think they have been kind of really taking us up under the wing.
Yeah.
As far as just being advisors in our entrepreneurial journeys. And they decided to make a commitment to sponsor us for the conference. So that's...
Yep.
That's a blessing. Yeah. And then as far as some speakers, I think people are going to be really proud about the speakers.
Yes.
And this is going to hit right before the conference. So I need people to be really excited about who we got going on. But that's just some brighter news. But let's get into personal prayer support. Let's start off with Pastor O. What's going on with you this week?
I thank God I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can't do anything without being alive.
Yeah.
I tell people, like, work-life balance is set the wrong way because you can't work without life. So, I mean, this week, I think the most thing, the thing that I'm the most grateful for is my kids. Like, one day I was just sitting in the living room looking at them. I was like, man, like, I got kids. And I love that. And, you know, one of the things that it motivates me is that, you know, as a hard worker, sometimes I wake up so early, I don't see them, and I come home so late that I don't see them. I wake up, they're still sleeping. I come home, they're still sleeping. And, you know, my praise report is, I see what this will become. A moment in time where I have unfiltered conversations, uninterrupted time with my family. And I thank God for that being a plan for me. Yeah. And the timeline of that, TBD. But I pray that it doesn't tarry too long.
We pray that that's soon.
God bless.
What about you, Kenny?
Let me look in through the week. I usually we have these prepped and ready to go. But I'm going to see. I guess my personal praise report is talk to my father again. It was because of some bad news, actually. Family member got injured. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to be too gruesome on that. But they got injured. But I thank God, one, that my father was swift in calling me. Two, that my family member, it seems like they're okay to recover. And it makes you really appreciate the time that you have here on earth. And then it was just an even more realization of the appreciation for people you grew up with. And just wanting to love on them and make sure that you can be there. And I definitely have to... you know, reach out and support that person. So that's something that I look forward to be doing. But I guess the praise report is that one, a family member could have, you know, been in a way worse situation. And I just thank God that this person had the heart to want to help another person out. And you can't really say that about too many people, that they'll want to help a random person out in the street.
Yeah.
And so thank God that they're alive. And that's my personal praise report.
Amen. I don't know if mine is as deep this week. I know usually I got some deep ones. I finished my chiropractor appointments. In the last couple of episodes, I kind of touched on that. I feel like every four episodes. For those of you who don't know, I was going through like some very intense chiropractic therapy with my spine. Just over the years, hunching over a desk has not been good to my body. And we finished the 24 sessions.
Oh, wow.
So that was very gruesome, trying to get there 2 to 3 times a week. That was a lot. But the only thing that I'm not satisfied with, and I must say this, is that after I finished the 24 sessions, they tried to upsell me on another 24 because they were like, oh, yeah, we didn't do the corrective work. We just stabilized you. So we got to spend the same amount for the next 24. And I was like, no, I'm good. The Lord is my shepherd and my healer. No, thank you. So, but I'm happy that, you know, I went through that process because I learned the proper techniques and exercises and therapy so I can keep it up and I can potentially go somewhere else. I just didn't like that whole scammer situation with the Twitter. I don't understand.
It's feeling like a Forex. It feels like a Forex meetup where they get you rope you in and say, hey, look, man.
So we didn't really fix it.
You didn't really make money this time, so pay us so you can make more money.
Yeah, yeah. All
right, cool.
Well, you know, I make light of it. I think it's a real
I'm real life
traders out there, just traders in general. But I just make light of that one because there are some guys that give you that what is it, Avalon approach? What is it?
The lotion?
Avon.
They gave you that Avon marketing model.
Not you talking about marketing pyramid.
I coach you to make the money I made. You don't even know anything about economics or anything else. It's like, bro, it's a lot that goes into this stuff.
Sidebar, you know what the new Forex is? Our Instagram courses.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother discussion.
That's a whole nother discussion. So, matter of fact, we're going to have an episode on scamming. It's like, that's a career that you don't need to be in.
And not then, all of them are bad. I enjoy seeing the expertise of a lot of people coming out in the creative. But there is some, I'm like, I know good dang well you ain't never did this ever. And you creating the course.
ChatGPT.
Right.
ChatGPT is something super powerful. Yeah. I guess we're going to get into now our main portion of the episode. You know what time it is. It's all about our boy, Pastor O. Now, what do you want to, first of all, introduce the audience to about yourself? And what is some important things that they should know about you as in your faith walk?
I'm a believer. I think that's the first thing that, you know, before any other identity, my identity in Christ comes first. So before I'm anything else, the fact that you know that I'm a believer should answer some questions about me, my character, my opinions. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I have three kids. My professional vocation is an equity options trader. So I'm in the markets on Wall Street. And I'm an entrepreneur. And I think entrepreneurship is the best way to define what I do, even in my current place of work, identifying problems, solving them for the benefit of others. That's my goal in life. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Amen. So he being modest, y'all. So let me tell y'all about this man, how I met this man. It's through the University of Illinois. I know y'all probably get tired of so many U of I alums on here. But met this man at University of Illinois, and he was a teammate. So for anybody that's like, man, this man ain't play no football on this podcast, I have proof with somebody else. And
downhill?
Huh?
Downhill?
Oh, yeah. Man. So they don't know that. They don't know the downhill. They don't know. I lived a completely different lifestyle before this podcast, so we gonna keep it PG for the And, man... So, you know, when I met Sean, I think he was our roommate, like, the first year of you playing football, first or second year.
Sorry. Roommate?
Yeah.
I think second year. First year, we were in the dorms, and then second year, we were roommates.
But from the time of meeting you and then becoming your roommate, there's been a lot of growth because we all been, let's say, very immature in a lot of ways, man. We wanted to be outside. We wanted to live the football lifestyle. But one thing that kept with me about you, Sean, is that you was always curious about the world and that you always asked questions and that you always wanted to know more about what's going on. And that really stayed with me because that challenged me. And that challenged everybody in the house because you just, whether you was right or wrong, you was going to challenge everybody. And I think that was the good thing about being in that apartment is that everybody could stand on their own and standing firm on what they believe. And to see you make that transition from when you was believing some things that you were probably wouldn't want to be in today, but now you're using that same mindset, that same personality, that same characteristics into who you are today. You're being very curious in the way that you do entrepreneurship. You're being very strong in your faith. That is essentially the same man that I seen early on when we was 18, 19, 20, and all of that. And it's just become, looking at you now, the more mature version of you, it's been a straight blessing to see the whole walk.
Thank you.
And the reason why we got you on this podcast is because of your all your different life experiences. Of, like you said, you being a trader, you being an entrepreneur, you're a pastor. I know people on the listening, they'll be like, man, who your pastor? Can you go ahead and describe a little bit about your church, your teachings, and how you feel about even being a pastor?
Yeah, so I pastor at Bible Church of Reconciliation. It's a non-denominational church on the south suburbs of Chicago.
Do you want to shout out the address for those who want a church home?
Yes, it's good that I know this, or it would have been a very bad 16299 Wallace Street, Harvey, Illinois. You can find us at thebcor.org or go to our Instagram, the BCR, on Instagram primarily. I'm also the leader of a youth fellowship called RCLN. RCLN is kind of like a way that I abbreviate reconciliation, right? It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, right? When the Bible tells us that we are to reconcile people to God, right? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So most of what I teach is how do you get back to God? Yeah. And I think my life has given me the qualifications to teach this, right? It's given me the bachelor's degree to stand on to talk about how you can find your way back into the hand of God. So primarily I'm teaching that to believers, because believers also need to find their way back to God. Yes. Unbelievers and atheists, right? I love talking to people that don't believe in God, and you know, kind of like you alluded to, like the way that I look at the world is with a lens of conviction, and I'm convicted that everybody should be a believer. Yeah. So when I find people that aren't believers, I have questions for them, and you know, those questions lead to more questions, and they realize that the only answers are in the hand of God.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to help people navigate that journey through, you know, whatever, wherever I find them, in the workplace, on the street. Actually, on my way to work, there was a guy. He was in the ski mask, and he just walked up on me and started talking. I'm like, cool, I'm not pressing it. I'm like, this how I go, this how I go.
This kind of sketchy.
Yeah, crazy. It was super sketchy. But not an ounce of stress, not an ounce of fear, right? And, you know, he came and he got the ski mask on, and he just started talking. And I'm like, how you make money? He was like, man, I sell drugs. So I'm like, all right. Like, do you want to do that? He was like, no, not really. But that's the only option that I have. I'm like, man, I hate that for you, but I understand. And I asked him, do you think that this will always be the case? He said, I hope not. I'm like, you know, that could change today. So we got to my building, and I started praying for him. I was like, can I pray for you? He was a little apprehensive. I started praying for him, and then I could tell he was kind of confused, right? This is not the response he anticipated when he walked up on me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his intentions were. Like I said, he had a ski mask, and that ski mask never came off, right? And I prayed for him, and then I gave him $20, and you know, I walked away, and I'm looking back at him, and he's totally confused right now. And the prayer that I pray for him is that, like, Lord, see his situation. He made an open confession that he does not want this to be the case. Father, if you can change this today, do it. And when I gave him the $20, I was like, I know this isn't going to last long, but I hope that this $20 delay you from making a decision to make a $20 the wrong way. It might not solve the problem completely, but if it at least stop you or give you an extra 20 minutes, an extra hour where you're not about making money or selling dope or doing whatever, it's like,
yeah,
maybe that gives you just this window where God can really step in. So that's why I gave him the money, not because I thought he needed it. He just told me how he made money.
Right.
But I was just like, I'm giving this to you because I hope that it creates a gap that allows God to step in. And, you know, maybe after that, by God's grace, somebody else give him another 20, or you know, he gets in a job, whatever. I don't know the outcome of it. I'm never going to see this guy ever again in my life. But that is some of the...
You've never seen him.
I've never seen him before.
Wow. Yeah, I was about to say, technically, you never seen him.
How did he respond, like, when you were handing it to him? Was he, like, apprehensive?
I think he was kind of embarrassed in a way. I think he was just evaluating his life, and he was just like, is this my reality? Because when I told him, I'm giving this to you hoping that, like, this creates enough distance between the next time you got to go make some money. And he has it in his hand, and he's just like, because, you know, we black men, we don't really like receiving support.
Yeah.
It's almost like you belittling me by giving me $20. Like, I'm not homeless, you know? But he just looks so jaded, and I'm like, all right. Because now, to be honest, his response gave me more concern than when he first walked up on me. Because it was like, as I'm praying, I'm also talking about, like, anything that is a stronghold in his life. And I know the devil is mad when you begin to call him out. And I don't know this to be true, but that it was as if like his whole countenance changed. Mm. That like the person that walked up on me was like his genuine soul, but the person that I left was the one that was tormented. Mm. And it was not happy about me trying to give him an out. Mm. Yeah. And that response was just like, all right, you know, let me go. Now I got to make sure I'm covered.
Right. Well, right. Almost like he was fighting internally.
You don't smack the devil and he just stand there look at you.
Right. They probably tell him, go run up on him. Do anything, something. Yeah.
But
right.
I'm covered.
That
I'm good.
That gets to my next point of, you mentioned that he said that's the only way mm-hmm. that he could. And I challenge anybody on this. And when I hear people say, I ain't got no choice. God says that he always leave a choice. He always leave a out. So you ain't gonna call my God a liar in front of me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear people say that, it's like, man, what you probably missed out was the opportunities he gave you an out on from the time you was born to the time you were saying the statement of, I don't have a choice. And that goes with, you know, people that I've known that probably make a living through selling drugs or whatever they make a living doing. That's probably not the most legal. I'm just going to say legal because ethics, morality, it all plays a different thing. But I'm going to say it's not the legal way to do it. And if that's the case and they say that they have to do this, I have to sell myself. I have to sell drugs or whatever. I'm going to say, well, you've been to a grocery store before, right? You've been to... You'll walk down the street in a corner and you'll pass the church. Mm-hmm. These are all things or realizations you chose to bypass because there was I mentioned a grocery store because as you go into the grocery store, you recognize that there's somebody that might have spoke to you and even said something as small and simple. It says, God bless. You've been into a store that say, amen. You've been into somewhere somebody, you've seen other people have jobs. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to ask somebody for help. You could ask somebody for a job because I've seen two success stories. And I think what's even interesting is what I've been seeing on social media is two success stories. You have the one that said, I had no way out. And they said, only way and then they go to jail and then rape, murder, whatever happens. And that's sin, telling them I had no way out. Then you have the same person with the same circumstance that this was the only way for me to get away from all of that stuff and to figure things out. And then you hear them about them being the biggest blessing to the world. And then it comes to what I've been seeing on social media is it's interesting that Stan Lee, when he make his superheroes and villains, he makes sure that they have the same upbringing, but one made a different choice. And it can allow you to be a superhero or it can allow you to be the villain of the story. And so that's, you know, when he said that, I hear so many people say that, I'm like, I'm always on top of that. I'm like, you always got a chance. You always got a choice. Mm-hmm. But the choice that you made by that young man running up on you with the mask on and the maturity that you had to say, hey, can I pray for you? Spiritual maturity. When did the change happen, bro? Because in college, we all know it probably wouldn't have worked out that way. When did the change happen, and how do you get to be the man that you are?
Yeah, so just to double back on that, I think, you know, with that young man, I try my best when I'm talking to people to not put godly slanders on ungodly people, right? Like, it's easy as believers to think because of the meditations that we have on Scripture that everybody should think and see the world like this. Mm. But, like, the reality is it's not true.
True.
Right? Yeah. Every time we encounter somebody, we need to almost take away the mindset that they have the Bible knowledge that we do. So the state of a man's life devoid of the Word of God mm-hmm. is what we witness every time we're witnessing to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really, really want to always meet people where they are. And this has given me the ability to speak to atheists, to drug dealers, to gangbangers, because I'm never going to go to them expecting them to be Peter. Like, I want to meet them. I want to meet Saul. Mm-hmm. And let me deal with Saul. Mm-hmm. And then when he becomes Paul, then I'm like, bro, why are you doing that?
Right, yeah, true.
But nobody bats an eye when Saul goes to persecute a believer.
Right.
If Paul did... Now we got problems. Mm-hmm. And I think this change happened in my life. You know, I've always, the thing about my faith walk is that there've always been core tenets that I always believed in, regardless of my behaviors or my habits or decisions that I've made. Even when I was at university, I still went to church. Like, I still went Sunday mornings, still mm-hmm. went to church.
I remember that.
You know? Mm-hmm. May have been out until 4 a.m. Saturday night. But
that's the part I remember.
You know? But I had it in my mind, at least, that, like, man, like, going to church is good for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to do things that are good for me, even if I don't enjoy doing them.
Yeah.
Right? That was the mindset that I had. And all I had to do was unlock that mindset with more of a biblical lens. Right. And then I started having more discipline and continuing to do things that I don't like but are good for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the biggest change happened when I took a trip to Israel. So in 2019, I went to Israel, went to Jerusalem, went to Jericho, went to Bethlehem, sailed on the Red Sea, took a bath in the Black Sea, got baptized in the River Jordan. I mean, I did the full The Holy Sepulcher. I've seen everything. Lazarus' tomb. And mm-hmm. one of the things that it did is it practicalized the Bible. Mm-hmm. It brought the Bible to life. Mm-hmm. It made me realize that Mount Carmel, where Elijah called down fire, mm-hmm. I went to that mountain.
Right.
It's no longer a Bible story. Mm-hmm. This is real. And the moment that you begin to see Jesus is real, that he is alive, and these things, as real as all of us, the experiences that we see in the Bible are that tangible.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it takes a trip like that for everybody to be able to get the tangibility, because what did Jesus say? Jesus says that blessed are those who believe but have not seen, mm-hmm. right? But for me, where I was in life, I needed to see.
Right.
I was Thomas.
Yeah.
But the moment that I saw it, and then I had an encounter where we were praying and I felt the hand of Jesus to grab mine, and all he told me was yield. Mm. He said that was the only word, yield. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, mind you, COVID happened the next year.
Right. I'm like, you got in good.
Oh, man. Because then alone time happened. That was my wilderness.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, yeah.
I went through the wilderness after that.
Like he showed you, then took you to the mountain.
From that encounter, I did 40 days prayer and fasting. Mm. The last 3 days, no food, no water. For 3 days. I'm telling you, I broke my body. Like, I was crying, physical tears, because I was so hungry. But I was like, God, if what you showed me is that real, I'm ready to die right now. Mm. I am ready to go. Mm. If that means I get to go to be with you.
Yeah.
Not suicidal or anything, but just like, man, like, that's how much I wanted it.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who's maybe, like, on the brink of where you were, of God, I need something. It may not be Israel, but I need something to get me to the other side.
I would say that something is you. Mm-hmm. Like, our Savior already came. Mm-hmm. We got to stop looking for people to come and save us. Mm-hmm. That already happened.
Yeah.
You know, many times we go to church and we're looking for the pastor to save us. And, man, I'm not going to be well unless the pastor lay hands on me.
I ain't heard that one.
Oh, man.
What?
I ain't never heard that one.
Mad at the pastor because he can't come to every bedside, every party,
can't
every house.
Can't dedicate the house.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah. Man, our audience better not. I bet they hear that.
You don't hear about it, but the pastoral staff,
yeah,
they hear about it.
Yeah.
And that's what deacons are supposed to be for.
That's what Jesus is for.
They don't care, especially the elders. They don't care.
That's what I'm saying. Like, once you begin to... And I'm saying this. I'm a pastor. I understand the role that that these ministries play to equip the saints, mm-hmm. right? I understand that. But when it comes to your own personal salvation, you have to handle that with fear and trembling. Like, that's you. Mm-hmm. It's a personal walk. So if you're looking for that bridge, or if you're looking for that word of encouragement, community can help with that, mm-hmm. but that only goes a long way.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go into that closet, close the door, and be like, I'm not leaving here until I'm fully satisfied. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing a fast right now. You know when I'm going to end this fast?
When?
I have no idea. I'm like, God, like that. Until something happens, mm-hmm. I will not eat anything. 1 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
And I will extend that if you tell me to. However long it takes. What did Jacob say? I will not let mm-hmm. you go
mm-hmm. oh, true. Mm-hmm.
until you bless me. Yeah.
True.
That angel was the embodiment of Jesus at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you make up your mind and you just, if the only decision that you make today is that you will not let go mm-hmm. until something happens, that's the best decision that you can make, period.
Amen.
Okay, Pastor. Now, Pastor, oh. Cause you starting to get in your bag now. you starting to get in your bag now. Now what led you now? Cause we're kind of walking people through the journey of what it takes to be foundationally sound before they get into their purpose. Would mm-hmm. you say that you were in your purpose, and what led you to get into where you start doing more of these entrepreneurial ventures? So could you talk about that?
Yeah, I think. You know, it's always tricky to be able to definitively say you are walking in purpose until you hear those words, well good, well done, my good and faithful servant, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there are some indicators that you are walking in purpose. One of those indicators that I've spotted in you, right?
Mm.
And I know it's coming, mm. right?
What?
And I know you have it, but we're praying for grace to release you.
What?
You ready?
Yeah.
When you are willing to do something for the rest of your life without getting paid,
oh,
yeah,
that's indicative of purpose,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what ministry is, because a good minister is never looking for somebody to compensate him.
Yeah.
A good minister understands that a worker's due is labor, is earnings, yeah, but a good worker is not going to be like, I'm not going to pray for you until you pay your tithe and your offering.
I've heard
you want
that
this
too.
Anointing oil? You got to come buy it.
I've never heard that.
I don't know where you got this, man.
You were spared from that side of church. So just say thank you, God.
Man, I would have been like, listen, first of all, I would have been like, who healing. Is you talking to? Like, bro, is it you going to give the blessing or not? It's not up to you for the blessing. You got to be.
It's,
I feel like the Holy Spirit gives that conviction.
It's ridiculous, but.
Like I said,
this is just the reality. This is the state, and it's not everywhere. I'm not gonna say it's everywhere, but as it relates to purpose, I think one of the moments in my life where I realized that, like, okay, maybe this is what God wants me to do. It was in 2018, and I was talking to a man of God. Right, his name is Femi Micah, Pastor Femi. And he came to a church. It was one day we went on a Saturday. The church is empty. When I tell you the amount of encounters that I've had in an empty church, well, y'all not ready for that. The church is empty. Just me, him. He grabbed me by the hand and he started walking. And this is before my Israel trip. You know what he said? Yield.
Mm.
Right? The same words that I heard a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, and this is where prophecy can be mm-hmm. effective, right? Not prophecy in the state of that I'm going to tell you the future,
yeah.
But prophecy in the state that I'm going to connect the mind of God to the heart of a man.
Yeah.
And he told me, you're going to be a prophet of the markets.
Mm.
I'm like, do you know my condition right now?
Mm.
My mom is giving me money to go pay offering right now.
Mm.
And you know what happened? I became a trader.
Mm.
And the trader is just somebody that looks at the market and tries to predict what's going to happen.
Yep.
And I know I'm living in purpose only by what God said.
Yeah.
Any other indication of purpose other than the word of God is not the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What did he tell Jeremiah? I know the plans mm-hmm. that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose can only come
right.
from that plan.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that God was using other men and other women of God and my personal prayer and my personal study to reveal what he wanted me to do, the moment that I knew that,
yeah.
I knew purpose was attainable.
So I know I'm a traitor right now only by the word of God that will never go back to his mouth.
So how have you been stewarding that? From the moment that you realized that, how have you been storing in it? And what is some advice that you can tell some people that's listening to, some practical advice to say, start actually storing what God has led you and yeah. seeing what goes from there.
I think the first thing is don't complain. Mm. Oh, man. You know why the Israelites was in the wilderness that long?
Oh, yeah.
They were
and complained about what they were delivered from.
My legs hurt.
Why we don't go back? I was getting treated better then. What?
God is doing a work in your life. Mm-hmm. And you did fix your mouth to complain about it? Mm-hmm. So as hard as work can be sometimes, and I'm not 100%, do I complain? Yes, and I'm grieved about it.
Yeah.
Right? But the first thing is to be mindful of the complaints that you are making on what God has given you. Mm-hmm. Right? Me and my wife, we made our decision. You know, we got this house, right? It's 3,300 square feet. God's been good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why he said it's not an abode. That's a blessing.
That man said small abode.
It is a blessing.
You say small abode with my 300 square foot apartment studio. That's what I say. My humble abode. My little small abode. I've been there for 5 years. Not 33. You see, God gave 10 times the portion.
It's all relative. It's all relative. Somebody got 30,000. Somebody somewhere got 30,000. But it's easy to turn a blessing into a curse. Mm-hmm. So now it's just like, oh man, but I gotta go mow the lawn, and I gotta there's a mess everywhere, and the sink, and there's, and then one day me and my wife was just like, are we complaining about what we've prayed for? Mm. Oh.
Yeah. I remember that IG post. I was so happy. I said, my boy got a home. I had texted him. I said, oh, you live in the American dream. Oh, no, I remember that.
Man. So it's just like you got to be very mindful of not, because that's what the devil wants to do, right?
Yeah.
In the garden, it was a blessing. Mm-hmm. And you know what Satan did? He was just like, did God really say, if it's such a blessing, then why can't you do this? Why ain't this available? Yeah. Why don't you have access to this? Why ain't this name that? It's like, no. Yeah. So we got to be mindful. So the first thing is just like anything that God gives you as it relates to purpose or destiny, don't fix your mouth to complain about it, because God can take you right back to Egypt. Ooh. Right? I think the second thing as it relates to purpose and destiny is having a community. Mm-hmm. Right? As powerful as Moses was, if you told him to go to the land of promise by himself, he would have never made it.
Mm. Yeah.
Never. That boy needed a man called Aaron.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
From the lineage of the high priest.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you need, and me and Kenny talks about this, we need accountability partners.
Absolutely.
We need people that's going to go with us in the wilderness and into the land of promise.
Absolutely. And not be monitoring spirits.
Because there's a lot of them on Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. I have a hard time figuring out what to post about this. Like, I want to be able to share the journey, but not at the cost and expense of witches and warlocks praying against me. You ain't gonna break through this one, I'm gonna be honest.
I mean,
but
that's where the faith come in at, though. God protection. That's how I think about it.
I have a lot to say about spiritual warfare.
Oh, we supposed to do an episode on that. You wanna do that?
I have a lot to say, but to the point, I digress.
What are we talking about again?
You was on point number two.
So having a community, right? That's the whole point of the ecclesia. The church is a gathering, right, of people. You need a gathering whenever you're doing something. You guys just talked about in the praise report about you guys having people that want to invest in you. Mm-hmm. That's a gathering.
Yeah.
God is forming people around you guys. He's saying they're like, oh, you're not going to do this alone.
No.
He made a promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to send another helper, right? And help is coming. You got to be mindful of that. And I think the third thing as it relates to just like how I know that I'm functioning and I'm moving towards where I am supposed to go is that I'm getting closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
The end result of all of this is the hand of God. So anything that you're doing, if it's taking you further away from God, I guarantee you that's not your purpose. Mm-hmm. I bet the house on that. Yeah. I'll give you one thing and then we'll go. I was my first startup, right? Mesh Plus Plus. I'm like, this is the will of God for me. It took me to China, took me to San Francisco, got me some. Everybody knew me as the startup guy. Like, everybody was just like, he the man. And then one day, you know what God said? What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He was just like, I need you to walk away from this company and every dime that they promised you.
Ooh-wee.
I'm like, hey, big man, you talking to me? This my identity. This my reputation. It's my well-being. And he told me to walk away. Why? Because the closer I got towards success, the further I got from God. Mm-hmm. And God will withhold a dollar from you if he knows that's going to take you further away from him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So I had to realize that, man, this can't be purpose if it's taking me away from God. Mm. I know my wife is purpose because she brings me closer
right.
to God.
I was going to say, that goes for relationships as well. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's another episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to get on it. We got so many topics. So, as far as your journeys and guys, where God is taking you, man, last time we talked, you mentioned that, I don't know if you can share, but you mentioned that you had a lot of things queued up and that you were saying, this is where God is taking me. How have you seen those things bring you closer, and do that fulfill God's will?
Yeah, so I'm really big on helping people to become spiritually sound and financially free. If every conversation that I have, it leads you towards being spiritually sound and financially free, I feel like I'm doing the work of God. Mm-hmm. And as of late, I've realized that every main component of my life right now is geared towards spiritual soundness and financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Either from like being an options trader or being an entrepreneur or being a pastor or being a youth minister or being on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And as of late, I've just been seeing God connect me with so many people. Even just today, like the reason why I was a little late coming in, because I met with a young man, right? This young man was debating between Islam and Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to talk to him and, you know, just share my convictions and why I think Christianity is the most logical choice, mm-hmm. right? We can talk about the faith component of being a believer. You ask the average Christian why they're Christians. Like, just because.
Right.
I just believe, you know. I'm not trying to, you know, knock that. Like, yeah. I'm glad you were a believer. But there are some people that they're like, I need the facts. Mm-hmm. Like, show me.
Especially this generation.
Especially this generation. And I could prove to you. I could prove to you that Jesus was real. I could prove to you that he was crucified. I could prove to you that he resurrected. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm talking to this man, and then he shares his business idea with me. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to build this startup. I'm like, okay, what's the idea? And he gives me the idea. I know another black man, God-fearing, working on the same idea.
Oh, God bless.
So I call him in the car. He picked up. And I'm like, hey, homie, I got a man here that is working on a similar idea as you. Can y'all talk? So they talk. They hit it off immediately.
God bless.
They start talking about connections to this bank and that bank. And this person's helping. Oh, this was my missing piece and you got it. And now wow. I'm seeing that all I did was to be present.
Right.
I just took a meeting because this person wants to get closer to God. Now I'm helping him become financially free.
Mm-hmm.
So that is affirming like this call upon my life that I'm going to preach, but I also want to help people live a life where they are not begging.
Right.
What my Bible says? I was young, mm-hmm. but now I'm old. Mm-hmm. I have never seen the righteous beg for bread. I'm trying to make that a reality for each and every one of the people that I work with. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that.
And how do you do that for the audience? How can they be able to support the businesses that you do and the ventures that you're doing?
Honestly, prayer. Prayer is the fuel to anything that you're trying to do with power, with effort, mm-hmm. right? That effort has to be expended in the prayer place before it's expended out in the world. That's what prevents you from being tired. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if you try to do things outside of prayer, you're going to be exhausted.
I've been doubling up, tripling up the prayer. I'm like, dog, this tiredness and this exhaustion, this gotta be the attack. Enemy.
Man.
So I'm like, man, where is this coming from?
Can people contact you?
Yes. I think Instagram is the best place. My Instagram handle is OLUAJU, Oluaju. So you can find me there. And I think the best way to help in this is, I don't talk to anybody about finances without knowing where they are with Christ.
Amen. Like, that's a solid, solid approach.
It's my orders of operation.
Yeah.
There is no benefit in giving you money if you're going to squander it because you don't have God dictating what you do with it.
Mm. Absolutely.
So if you ever want to talk to me about finances or venture capital or anything, you better come with a Bible.
Hello.
God bless.
Because that's the only way we're going to get into any of those things.
Especially if they're doing something for Christ, like a kingdom center, Christ center business, kingdom center business. Is there are people out here with money that want to give it, but they also want you to change the heart of the mission that people have called you to. We've dealt with that recently where we've been like going around like pitching and talking with VCs and just angel investors. And some of the feedback was, why can't this just be for the Quran? Can we just make this for mindfulness and meditation? And we pulled back. And there were some very serious contenders, but they wanted us to change everything. And we were just like, we are bootstrapping until further notice because it just it's no point. Like, we would have gotten here for nothing. And I think that if you don't have the heart posture of God, only you, you and only you, they will make faulty decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's time that the first Christian venture capital firm get stood up.
You gonna be wanna do it, brother?
I'm praying. I mean, if I had $50,000 right now, I'd give it to y'all.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's
put a little prayer in.
Yeah, a little extra prayer.
little rise and dazzle. Yeah.
But one thing that I want to give you guys an assurance of that is going to happen in your lifetime is that there's an army rising up. Mm. There's an army of really brilliant believers that are thriving in sports, in the markets, in entertainment.
Yeah.
And they have extra capital, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it. The moment that the vehicle is ready and the right man is raised by God to be able to rally the troops and say, we're going to raise a $2 million fund, and we're only going to invest it in Christian businesses. When that moment happens, I want you guys to know that you all laid the groundwork for it. Because there's no VC firm without startups like you on the frontier, bootstrapping, waiting until the right time, until those resources come.
I receive it.
That's Amen. Definitely a blessing in here for sure.
Yeah.
When it comes to, kind of a last words for people that's thinking about entrepreneurship and fundraising and VCs and things like that, you mentioned that, at least when they're talking to you, that they should definitely be equipped with the Bible and some knowledge and have that right heart posture. But for some of those, what are some of those other things that VCs are looking for for out of small companies or startup companies that they want to be able to, people that's listening want to be able to say, all right, this is where I need to reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to break it down from a personal founder standpoint and then a business standpoint.
Okay.
Right. From the personal founder standpoint, it's actually an experiment that I'm doing right now, trying to figure out what is what I call the greatest common factor. What are some characteristics and attributes that all successful people have in common, right, that you can find in an ordinary person?
You going to shout out the podcast, bro?
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
So go to gcflab.com if you want to learn more about what your potential greatest common factor is. You're going to learn from CEOs, founders, owners, operators, people that have done well in life, and they're going to share some secrets about what got them to where they are. And here are a few that I've learned from talking to angels, VCs, and trying to figure out, like, What's that it factor to make you give somebody $250,000? One of them is, I'm going to use biblical words.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you.
One, long-suffering. Good for you. Can you really stay in this thing for 10 years?
Yeah.
Because if the answer is no, they can't give you a dime. Mm. They have to know that you are going to run this race to the very end.
Yeah.
Long suffering, right? From the business component, right, you have to have a story. And I'm sure you guys heard this over and over, and it sounds so cliche, but people are really bad at telling stories. A good idea with a bad story, it's a bad idea.
That's good. That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I appreciate you giving us that gem.
It's because we think in stories. We think in narratives. Since the beginning of time, we've seen things construct because of the narratives. Our entire society right now is being constructed based on narratives. Who we're going to elect as president is going to be based on a narrative. Right? So if we're making decisions about who run the free world based on narratives, then you're going to make decisions about how you run your company based on narratives. And that story has to connect with, one, the people that's going to invest in it, two, the people that's going to work on it, and three, the people that's going to use it. So you got to understand, if there's one thing that I can tell anybody, what's the story to the founders? What's the story to the investors? What's the story to the customers? And most times, it won't be the same story.
Which one would you put in a pitch?
I will put the one for the investors. Because they want to know how they're going to make money. That's the story they need to hear. They want to know how it's going to make money, and then they need to know the problem-solution statement is usually, like, easy. Right, they want to know why it's going to make money, and they want to know why somebody's going to quit their job and work for you. So being able to have a compelling reason as to why somebody's going to be like, I'll pay for this, and somebody's going to leave Amazon to go work for you, you have to nail that down.
You know, I think the biggest blessing to this whole conversation is that you're in a field where most people, I would say very secular, whether very it's secular. Trading, VC, finances, banks, all the fields that you have been in that realm. Even your background of programming, so you have some tech background too, of where you can even talk that language as well. In all your backgrounds, what I find the most, the biggest blessing is that how you interpret the things that you're receiving and you're putting it back out in biblical terms. If we were to have this podcast here just for anybody else, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there talking about business, different careers, tech or whatever. But to speak that very specific language to the people that need it most is believers that's been struggling in that career field of battling of like, because I don't have so much support to hear things of words of encouragement through the Bible or through the scriptures. And so that leads them to probably think about Islam or other type of religions. And for what you just did right there, breaking it down to say long suffering and applying that same principle of what God has put you through, of needing you to go through long suffering so you can really appreciate what he's had for you on the other end. I like that because if I hear that any other way, it don't click for me.
Yeah,
it don't click for me, and tell me the real connection I need to have, not just on the term of, oh, I got a good idea, I'm passionate about it. No. It's deeper than that.
Yeah,
the relationship that I've seen with the relationship that I have with Jesus and understanding who Jesus was and what he went through puts a whole different lens for somebody to say, whether it's my career, whether it's my business. It's people that invest in you, they have to understand that you're willing to do this to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
period. Mm-hmm. So if you had a job and you're like, I don't understand why I can't keep on climbing up the ladder, it's the long-suffering part. It's people looking for. They not wanting you to job hop all the time and career hop, change every, you know, every second. Yeah. It's some use into it, but it's use into you being all in. That's what I basically heard out of that. And you know, so I just wanted to say that was a blessing, bro.
I appreciate that, because the job of a pastor, right, is to equip, you know?
Yeah.
It's to let you know that to be in the world, everything that you need to accomplish what you need to do, you can find in the Bible, and you can find it communicated through a man of God, right? And until we begin to view the world from the lens of the Bible, in every single thing that we do. Like, I don't think that my work and my faith are two separate things.
Right.
Nope.
They are one and the same. So when I, how do I know that the Bible says that long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit,
right,
but I'm not patient enough to stay in this job for another 2 years?
Oh, he about to get in his bag again. Hold up, man. We got an hour episode.
Let him cook. Receiving it.
How?
Let him cook.
That means that there is a division in your mind about how the world works and what the Bible says. And unless you're able to reconcile the two, you're going to be extremely frustrated. Because now you're going to go to church Sunday morning and you're going to be like, man, this pastor don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what I'm going through at work. He don't know what this boss just told me. He don't know what I'm dealing with. He don't know my bills. And all the pastor said is to endure. All he did was read scripture. Now you mad at the word of God. Until you read your Bible and you says, those who endure until the end will be saved.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh, I think that means my career too. Yes. I think that means marriage, too. Those who endure marriage to the end, right? So I like to, I'm a very practical person, you know, like, I always have to be careful of not being too practical or pragmatic when it comes to talking about the faith. But it just makes so much sense to me. It's like, it just, it clicks. Yeah. It's not like theory. It's not, you know, we like, faith to me is tangible.
It is.
It's not this word in the ether that you just can never obtain. It's like, faith is a promise. Faith is a gift. Faith is given. Faith can be seen. Jesus went to go heal the lame man, and what he says, your faith has made you whole. So he must have seen something. He must have heard something. He must have received something to know that you possess faith. Right? Faith, the Bible says, is evidence. I never went to a court trial and there was evidence that they could not see. Have you? Have you ever heard about that? I got evidence, you just can't see it. The judge gonna be like, yeah, you gotta take that back to the crime scene.
Like we gotta put him in a psych ward. Yeah. He's different.
But to that point, there's something that only the judge can understand about sentencing and the jurors. And we're for dang sure blessed that Jesus is both.
Oh man. I couldn't imagine another judge. I'm locked up. Another judge? I'm getting locked up. Another judge. But by the mercy, the mercy of God, right? To be able to see that I put him on the cross.
Yeah.
Right? My sins. I never speak about the cross in the perspective of somebody else. Like, the sins of the world is, no. He was like, man, in 2018, Pastor O is going to do this. All right. I'm going to nail it to the cross today because I know what's going to happen. So before I was born, he took away my sins because he anticipated what I was going to do. So I can't just say that, oh, no, it was the sin of David and Elijah. And no. If there was no sins in the world, then Jesus would never have to go on the cross.
Right.
I contributed to that process, and I get to reap the rewards? Hold on.
Yeah, loving God. Yeah, loving God.
So I'm completely sold out for it. It's a work in progress. This is funny. Building your faith is like building a company.
Yep. That's the literally whole point of the show is for people to see that time and time again through different people. It's not just about us, but God is working in us through our career and everything else. Is I think that was perfectly said, man. Yeah. What I want to say, man, God bless.
Yeah.
God, God bless you guys.
And we get in. Well, you got any last comments?
I don't even want to go to Tech Horizons. I just want you to bless us.
We got to go to Tech
Horizons. All right, fine.
We got to go to Tech Horizons just so we can get the public what they want.
I guess.
Let's do it.
Okay. So our next segment is Tech Horizons, where we want to talk about a trending topic that's going on that affects our world. And we just want to hear our guests' perspective on it. We have talked about AI and large language models a ton in the last few, you know, episodes. But we want to hear from your perspective because you are the money man and you are the man that is investing in these things. And you are also the one that can build these things. So what is your perspective on large language models and where is it taking us as a generation or as a generation?
Yeah. So let's take a time machine back to 2017. All right. 2017, there was a theory that what if you had more data, bigger models, more time? What would that mean? AI, in the essence of it, is software that's able to predict one word ahead, right? Mm-hmm. So the goal of AI is to just predict the next word. That's all it is, based on the context it has from all the other words, right? But computing was very slow. One day, CEO of NVIDIA built the first AI supercomputer and hand-delivered it to Elon Musk, the co-founder of OpenAI at the time, right?
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow.
So when they got hands on that supercomputer, it allowed them to have more data, bigger models, and able to take time to run the models. So what happens if instead of generating one word at a time, you have all of this context and you're able to predict not only other words, you're able to predict prompts, right? So instead of me feeding it an input and then I get an output, I feed it an input and then it creates another input and another input and then a series of input until you get a desired result. That's what happens when you interact with ChatGPT. You can ask it, what color is the sky? That's not sufficient data. But that context, right, is enough to have it to infer, right, inference, what other words are important. So it generates another word and another word and another word and another word. Now we're generating sounds and we're generating images.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens when you connect that generative ability with a robot? Now, how the robot's next, its movements, it wants to hold this cup. Now it can predict every motion it needs to make to pick up the cup and to take a drink from it.
Oh, that's deep, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're now seeing a huge shift in computing and our ability to predict next actions.
So it's not the generative part. Isn't just the output, but the input of asking itself more series of questions, exploring the database to get what you actually mean contextually.
Yep.
And now it's being applied to more hard tech.
Everything.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that I want people to take seriously, the only way you can be successful in leveraging this is through prompt engineering, right? Because the only piece of data that you add to this model is whatever you type, say, upload. That's the, because it already has a ton of data.
Right.
Right? Imagine an ocean and you're just like, I want some water. You know, you gotta be, what kind,
How much? Mm-hmm. So your prompt is you designing your cup. Yeah. Is it clear? Is it tall? Is it short? And that's what allows you to go into the ocean and receive only the portion of water that you think is necessary for your filling. So your ability to talk to AI is more important than AI's ability to generate context and create outputs.
What would you say is your favorite generative AI model right now?
I think I'm biased. I would say ChatGPT only because I've been able to do some very interesting things with ChatGPT. I've explored Gemini from Google. I think previously it was called Bard. I'm kind of working on Anthropic right now. And I'm currently working on generating my own models.
Okay.
So you guys might hear about that. Yeah. Episode 5,000 or something.
God, not 5,000. We're going to hear about this. Because that's even amazing. Because how do a person even do that? Because you only hear, people say how to use the AI models, but you almost never hear anybody talking about generated because they think OpenAI got it, the game on lock. So what's the point of even?
Yeah. It's just like you won't teach people how to save money. Right. Teach people how to spend money, though. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it only benefits the people that collect that spread between what you're spending.
Mm. Is it a very complex thing to build?
Because you're not the groundwork has been done. Oh. What you're doing now is it's called fine tuning. Mm. Right? So you can take a model like Anthropic or GPT-4 and you can tune it for your specific use case. Right. So you can take a model and be like, I want you to predict how an atheist will receive this scripture if it was said in this way. Mm. Right. And if you ask ChatGPT right now, it might not give you a solid answer.
Yeah.
But if you tune it to the point where you're just like, you're having this back and forth, and now you're constructing how it responds, and then once the response now makes sense to you and it meets your needs, you can release that as Bible GPT or something.
Yeah.
Right? Which is just a wrapper over GPT-4. Yeah. But it's tuned to have more accurate because the context have been focused to, you know, all the inputs that you gave it.
Man, every time we get together, bro, I'm always learning just the newest thing ever, bro. And
this is life. And like, I'm always, you said it when we started, like, I the way the world looks from my eyes and my mind is different. Mm-hmm. And I spend all day, every day, trying to reconcile these things.
Oh, I said, man, from the very beginning when I met you, I said, this man's just curious. He always questioning, but he always stands on what he believed at the time.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, that combination is just such a unique combination where people are being curious and they forget to keep on exploring the world and keep on understanding that as you explore the world, you still need that. The solid foundation and where to come back to. It kind of almost remind me of Inception. Because as they kept on going deeper and deeper into a person's mind, they still need that totem to set them to like know what reality is. You. And that's what I see that you've always done. It's like, what is reality? And for you, it's been God.
No, this is good because I would not recommend everybody to be curious like I am. Because it's dangerous.
Yes, it's extremely dangerous.
I've been down some rabbit holes. Like, I've went deep on Reformed theology and came out of it still a continuationist. There are some people that will go deep down Reformed theology and never speak a tongue again in their life.
Yeah.
Never believe in prophecy. Never believe in the gift of the Spirit. Right? But I explore these things because I'm confident in who I am and what I believe.
Unfortunately, it happens a lot in seminaries, too.
I was just about to say that. I haven't been to seminary. I'm not privileged like you.
Listen, I'm barely privileged. It's expensive. And they want to give me my FAFSA.
You said you was thinking about it, though. So yeah. That's a venture, bro.
You would add to them.
I'm thinking about it.
And be careful about which school has what theology and what they're going to teach. Because you're going to have to filter through whatever it is.
I want to go to John Piper School, Bethlehem Seminary in Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by John Piper's theology on Christian hedonism, which is basically the concept that
the point of Christ is not for you to feel bad, but to feel good. Mm. And then, and every good that you can pursue, if you pursue it in Christ, you will find the most good and the most pleasure. Mm. Right? So it hooks on the human wiring of pleasure. Mm. And it just disconnected from the world and connected to Jesus.
Yep. Wow.
That's why, I mean, I don't know much about the theology of too much anything, but what I will say modesty. Is, from my experience and my outlook of seeing the way that the world works, I feel like we as humans have perverted a lot of things that was wired to be all towards God.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So if he gave us this sense of high pleasures, sensories, it's probably because it was meant to be doing it for his will.
Good pleasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, man, it's so much to think about, man. But we are wrapping up on that episode.
One more question before we wrap. What do you think Christian builders should use generative AI for? Mm. Or to
That's a good question. Mm. Oh, this is a good question. I'm a concerned citizen about what the future is going to look like if the church does not get ahead of AI. Because the internet revolutionized how we access information.
Yeah.
And a lot of people came to leaving the faith because they Googled, is God real? Mm. They watched a video, and then somebody was like, no. And then from that day, that young boy never believed in God. Mm. The power that generative AI will have on influencing the opinions of people is going to be remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, remarkable. People's theology is going to be built on what they receive back from ChatGPT. People are going to be writing sermons.
Mm-hmm. We've heard pastors say that.
They already doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
They already
Not doing pastors it. That we know, but pastors, like they were in a seminar and they said, raise your hand if you use ChatGPT to form like the outline of a sermon. And like 75% raised their hand. And then they said, okay, now keep your hand raised if you use it to write the whole sermon. It was at least 25%.
That's tripping.
No. Research is one thing. Using it like you would when you're trying to do some reference verses. It's like, all right, the whole sermon. You're tripping. But I think if believers, because we barely had a grip on the internet. We had a grip on it through people that we didn't know were believers, but they were. I really think that Christians need to get a hold of the internet. I think we have to get a hold of ChatGPT. I think we have to use it because it's all about efficiency. A lot of people in the church, they like to work too hard. You know, I'm a hard worker, you know, but efficiency. Mm-hmm. Jesus, when Moses was trying to free the people, his father-in-law came up and he was just like, you trying to lead all these people? If you don't go call some leaders, set them apart, have them manage different people. Yeah. Efficiency.
Right.
So now we have one of the most efficient pieces of technology in all of human history. We better not squander this. The church should move faster, it should move smarter, and it should have a bigger impact based on the resources that we have available to us that Paul never had, that Peter never had, that we have at our fingertips.
It's a part of the ends of the earth.
And we're going to use that bit as a promo video for our Christian Tech Conference.
Summertime Shy is right around the corner, and the Talented Tech Conference hosted by Study Aloud is where you want to be on July 12th. Join over 400 professionals for this exciting one-day event packed with keynotes, workshops, and networking opportunities with leading Christians and tech experts. Use your tech skills in a setting where technology meets purpose. Secure your spot today and visit studyaloud.com for more details.
Everybody listening, Sean is going to be there and he's going to be saying the same thing when he's networking with y'all. And we're going to use that as the perfect promo video today. You got to work faster. We got to get ahead of the tech. And that's literally why we did the Christian Tech Conference. Mm-hmm. When we got into this field, we was like, I see it. I see that we don't have a grip on this, and this is advancing faster than the people that's already in the industry.
Right. We just started using social media.
Okay, barely using that.
When I heard that the top leaders of AI had to do basically a peace treaty for 6 months to say, hey, we can't keep advancing AI, and I said, hold up. These people are not Christian. These people are already getting ahead of stuff, and Christians is still, like you said, they don't even know how to work the IG or TikTok or whatever. So you telling me church is not offering. Church is not leading on this conversation when this can affect the whole world. We got a problem. Let's get everybody in the room. We're going to have to hash this out. So, you know, that's where we at with that. But, I mean, that's just where we at with that. I think that was a perfect way to kind of put into where tech is going and why we should just stay ahead of that thing.
Please.
So as we wrap this up, where we usually do a faith declaration for the audience of just what we hope for them with the faith that we hope that they are instilled with based on the message of today. What would you say for the audience?
I would say that it's cliche, but hold on to Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, if you wouldn't believe me if I said that I see some trades in my dreams.
Mm, I believe you.
Like, when you can just get all of your direction from the mouth of Jesus, it makes everything better. Mm-hmm. Everything, like, I can't stress this enough. I can't give you any more advice. My biggest advice is to go to the great advisor himself. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what worked for me. I was in the wilderness. I'm a person that I'm a seeker of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I study, I read. Mm-hmm. I'm a philosopher. All of those things left me empty.
Yeah.
It's only Jesus that made me whole. Mm-hmm. So even if all that I know, if I don't know a thing about AI, but I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Hello.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Okay. So please, spiritual warfare is real. Pray, study your Bible. And the last thing that I would say, one thing that I've come to realize is that you're going to struggle in one. Maybe you're a better prayer than you're a Bible student. Maybe you're a better Bible student than you are a prayer. Whatever you're good at, start there. Mm-hmm. Don't be mad at yourself that I can't pray for 3 hours. Yeah. I can't read the Bible for longer than 20.
That's a discipline.
Yeah, start where you at. Start there. And one thing, Pastor DeLapa, one of my pastoral friends, he made a statement. He said, if you feel the urge to pray, pray. Because your body will never, this flesh will never give you the urge to pray. Mm-mm. Ever. The body hates it. It hates prayer. It hates fasting. It hates study. So when you have an urge to do any of those things, do it. Mm-hmm. That's God talking to you.
Yeah, Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Well, with that, we can pray it on out. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for Pastor O and all of his wisdom. We thank you for his testimony and the ability to speak directly to the hearts of your people. God, we thank you so much for this platform. We don't take it lightly that we get an honor and privilege every week to come here to talk about your holy name and the things that we should be thinking about concerning your word and your will. Lord, I pray that if anybody listened to this podcast episode and decided, I want to walk with Jesus too. I want to get to know Jesus. Lord, your word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, Jesus, that we all shall be saved. So Lord, I pray that you touch the hearts of the man and prepare the minds of conversion, Father God, for those who want to seek you earnestly. Lord, I pray that you meet them where they are. And I also pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that is seeking purpose and seeking to serve God and the gifts and talents that you have bestowed upon them. God, I ask that you meet them there as well. So Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you all of the glory, honor, and praise. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.